I should just say, you know what? Good afternoon. It is 4 o'clock right now, and thanks for tuning in to CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. This is Finding a Voice, a spoken word program airing here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. And coming up on the show today, in the first hour from the September 3rd, and the journey continues, open mic reading in that monthly series held at the Elm Cafe. You'll hear readings in the first round by Penny Page, Sarah Emtage, Billy, Keen Ryan, Alana Veach, Meg Freer, Sue Publicover, and lost my place here, and Eric Folsom, Kinman Young Tai, Kelly Chartier, Harlequin Crow, Abby Mioli, and me. And then you will also hear two poems. I always let people send them to me as well. Two poems sent from Zandra. She lives near Montreal. In the second hour, again, from that September 3rd, and the journey continues, open mic event, you'll hear readings in the second round by Bob Brules, Keen Ryan, Sarah Emtage, Alana Veach, Meg Freer, Sue Publicover, Eric Folsom, Kinman, Harlequin Crow, Abby Mioli, Mike, and me again. And then following that, you'll hear Merv Dobb. You're going to hear a book launch. He launched his book, Bits and Pieces, Reflections of a Literary Pretension at Novel Idea on July 2024. But I'll tell you what, I just see something else popped into my inbox here that needs to air. So let's go ahead and do that first, and then I'll be right back to introduce the first set. How's that? And let's go here. Just tune it up in just a sec, and here we should
together.ca. Attention students, are you feeling overwhelmed? Do you need a more flexible schedule? Athabasca University has you covered. AU offers over 850 online courses designed to fit your needs. That's 850 opportunities to earn credits that seamlessly transfer back into your program. Improve your GPA, explore new subjects, and study from anywhere. Visit athabascau.ca to browse our online courses and transform your academic journey.
And I am back. So we got that in there, and was supposed to air, I guess, right at the top of the hour, but we got pretty close. How's that? I didn't see it in my inbox until I already started this. So let me just do the usual start of the hour announcement, and just is that occasionally some poetry, spoken word, or music played on this show may contain strong language, but it's all played in its entirety with content unedited to honor the creative integrity of both the author and the piece. So just going back into what you're going to hear in this first hour with the almost usual anymore, wonderful crowd and full evening at the September 3rd and the journey continues reading at the Elm Cafe. And readings in the round, again, I think you know what that is, but a poet gets up, called up from the sign-up sheet, reads one poem, sits down, the next poet comes up. We go through that list and then take a break, and then we come back for a second round. So what I do when I bring them to air is kind of group them together. I'll pick four or five readings and just play them back to back. Oh, mostly so that I'm just not constantly on here going, you just heard and next you're going to hear. So anyway, up first, in the first grouping, you're going to hear Penny Page, Sarah Emtage, Billy, and Keen Ryan. And here we go.
Let's bring up Penny Page.
This is kind of a short poem. It's just called Belonging.
I belong to the morning, to a time before shadows, to a time before sound, to a time before sadness. I belong to the morning, to a time after dreaming, to a time after death, to a time after dozing. I belong to the morning, to a home without an address, to a love without a name, to a God without a temple. I belong to the morning. I belong.
As we give Penny another hand, let's bring up Sarah Emptage.
Thank you. This is called The Peace of God. Peace passes understanding on the street, shaking the dust from her feet. She has come further than far, sent by request from the King of the Stars. Understanding stands in wonder at her pace, as unceasing peace wins the race. Rushing like wind through the leaves of a tree, she is running with glee home to me. Thank you.
As we give Sarah another hand, let's bring up Billy.
So this is a poem that I've said here before, but it's been a long and busy summer. I had a very abrupt trip to the Northwest Territories just a couple weeks ago. I just got back, and I was there staying with my family. My grandmother had a pretty intensive surgery, and we weren't too sure if she was going to make it, but she is still kicking and still up and at 'em. So, I'm really, really glad for that, really grateful. So if you are a praying or energy type of person, anything good is appreciated. And this poem I'm about to read shouts out a lot of the family members who I spent time with this time and the last time I went back to Fort Smith. And this is for my auntie Lana. I brought Lana to Blue Rodeo with me last night. I don't even know if she liked them, but it seemed like the thing to do. Whenever I'm out for a good time, I bring Lana with me. Blues dancing, a party, bring that auntie energy to keep me lively, to keep me boss, to keep me laughing. Lana was 6 feet tall or something. Big, curly hair and a wide smile that don't mess around. I'm 5'4" at best and always was a shy, quiet thing. My cousins picked out earrings for everyone. For Des, for Cookham, for Hope, Johnny, and Jamie, and we all bring Lana to her own funeral. Pull up with her earrings, our braids, and Jamie is blasting bougie natives in his pickup while we're all smudged and crying in the 2 blocks we gotta drive to Roaring Rapids Hall. Uncle Johnny set up the bingo letters. So they read her birthday. Takes a pic, tweets, when your bingo caller dies. I spend the morning listening to all the stories about the auntie I never really knew. Hearing stories about the auntie who I only realized still loved me when we hugged one last time. By the time 8 p.m. rolls around, they send the kids home. Tell all the stories they shouldn't hear. Play the slideshow with all the party pictures, and this may be the only funeral I've been to with a dance party. A round dance to Thunderstruck, Uncle shredding Johnny B. Goode on karaoke, my cousin Corey teaches me how to two-step, and the after party at Kathy's goes on until 5 a.m. So, I know that aunties stay with us after their hands have gone cold. They still make sure the kids are safe when their spirits. The least I can do is take Lana to this concert, to dance, and to live it up a little. Thank you.
As we give Billy another hand, let's bring up Keen Ryan.
Uh, I'm going to start with a three-line thing that I wrote that I like, but I have nowhere else to put it. Your last pittance, down a well, wish for change. So both of my poems are themed. I lost my job recently, so these are both to do with employment. They're both older ones that I wrote. So first one is about when I first came to Canada and I was struggling to find a job and I was getting increasingly frustrated. So just sort of, I don't know, imagining the jobs I could have and etc. So this one's called On a Rolodex. Rooster's pecking frozen corn, in his talons stinging thorn, sleeping in hay leghorn, sun is up, now sound the horn. Work began the break of morn, uniform was slightly torn, boss said with a face of scorn, that the day that I was born, he took his hands calloused worn and found it. He said he could promise more if my foot was nailed to the floor, I'd beg and scream, I implore, he said I'll show you the door, egg on my forehead. The architect of wedding cells, a comfy photo op to sell. 2x2's confetti fell, take the pick right on the bells. Like the picture, hate the smells of wedding cake and oyster shells. Reminded him of when he fell on hard times for the one who fell into another's arms. He felt that this job, it was as hell, confounded. Met a family Manson-like, a store that sold electric bikes. Softly spoken, acted like there was compost past the mic. They all spoke the same tripe, that their bikes would save the pike. If you read, you were alike, follow smog and take a hike to the sweatshops making bikes and powered by matchstick strikes. Pilot someone else's kite into the storms, lightning spikes, broken dam, stricken dike, the water overflowing like the lazy rolling drawl of Mike speaking oh so childlike, when have you landed? Not one of these jobs exist, all just past my fingertips. I could not get in the door, despite how often I explore, that I can always do more. Working class but cannot tour, a working place with living wage, while bills get heavier by the page. Someone's cooking there with sage, I smell it in my hungry rage. Cannot break out of this cage, will find myself a comfy stage of grief to wallow in my age, till I'm 30 with no wage. To call my girlfriend at this stage, to ask her if she would engage. A ring of fiber cannot gauge, her smile's polite or full of rage. Assuage the rights that were afforded, can't afford it, dumbfounded.
And from, again, the September 3rd, And the Journey Continues monthly open mic in that reading series, again, held at the Home Cafe. You heard readings by Penny Page, Sarah Emtage, Billy, and then Keen Ryan. Up next, you'll hear readings by Alana Veach, Meg Freer, Sue Publicover, and Eric Folsom. Here we go.
As we give Keen another hand, let's bring up Alana Veach.
I love the visual with thank you for bringing that. So the poem I'm going to read is not mine. I saw it in a magazine, The Hidden Star. I think they've only released one issue. That's as far as I know. But this poem is titled Silence, and it's by Margaret Bentley. And it was originally published, it says, in a different form in New Flash Fiction Review. And I should have done a little bit more research, so I apologize. Silence. A woman on the prairie went mad when the wind fell still. She cocked her head to understand why the grasses remained bent. The clothes on the line still horizontal, and the children's lips fluttered at her soundlessly. It is no use, hopeless, to explain why so many of us turn from home, leaving the door open and the dish towel damp, across the threshold. But one pair of eyes will remember the cant in her silhouette, while the mouths of the older siblings struggle to explain to their father where their mother had gone. She didn't say, is all they can tell him.
As we give Alana another hand, let's bring up Meg Freer.
Bruce has kindly allowed me to do a little plug again for the monthly Quirks of Human Nature show at the Royal Tavern. It's every third Monday of the month for the most part. Billy was going to be our poet of the month last month, and then, of course, she had to go to the Northwest Territories, as you heard, and Abby Miolet, who's back there, was on the program anyway and stepped in as featured poet, and it was pretty awesome. It was really, really fun. So, next time is 2 weeks from yesterday, I guess. Yeah. September 16th, Kirstine McLeod, local writer. She's mostly a nonfiction writer of Scottish heritage, but she writes a lot of poetry. We've got Jan LeClaire on accordion. If you've never heard her, she's quite incredible. Deb Sherman's on keyboard as usual. Eric Ten on guitar. We've got a couple of bonus poets, Wanda Pramsma and Neil Hobbs. And if anyone wants to be a third bonus poet, let me know in the break. And, oh, next month, Harlequin, Crow, Corey Toke over there. That will be our featured poet. That's right. Cool. And the second thing is, Bruce is too modest to mention this, but Joanne Gervais, a local painter, has invited him and me to do some poetry activities at her art tour in October. So I'll hand out some of these things. Abby's performing. She's got musicians. She's got artists. She's got Vikings Hultsborg. She's got the Star Wars 501st Legion. Special guests. She's got all kinds of musicians lined up and a whole whack of artists at her art tour. So anyway, Bruce and I are going to do some poetry events there. There's a flyer up about it on the wall, and I can hand out these later. Focus on the path. And I actually wrote this for Deb Shermans, my co-host of the Quirks of Human Nature show. Focus on the path. This morning, I take a muddy path to the beach. Search for sea glass, blue as my bruises. Marine fish register blue and green light, but I see only bone white when my fingers and toes emerge from the Atlantic. They remain that way for an hour until feeling returns. Today, I am driftwood, set on the dashboard of someone else's car. Fear is a world without maps for those who want to follow, not lead.
As we give Meg another hand, let's bring up Sue Public over.
Thank you. I'm excited about this opportunity. I was going to try to fact check this because I wrote it in 2021 and I couldn't find the news story. Hopefully it doesn't diminish the poem. Apollo 12, 2021. Saturn V third stage rocket from Apollo 12, November 1969 launch, showed up again in the news and in orbit. Where have you been for 52 years? Face it, I ask myself the same question. The floating darkness, occasional orbs of light, a mystery, and time. What is 52 years of floating in space? Or 62 for that matter? Matter, pun intended. Now you have come back to orbit. A piece of Saturn V from Apollo 12 returned to Earth. What is it like to float in the darkness of space for years? Maybe I already know. Would time or light have any discernible meaning? And in its lightness, does it feel heavy in the dark of space? I already know and long to stretch myself into this day with a complete sense of being held. Orbit. I say it slowly, orbit, held by the darkness, reflecting the light. Today. Today you have permission to release your battered old heart into orbit.
As we give Sue another hand, let's bring up Eric Folsom.
Get the right glasses on. Two things. If the poem sounds familiar, it's because it's 10 or 12 years old and I've rewritten it and added material and given it a different name. This is called Province Lake 1954, and Province Lake is on the boundary between New Hampshire and Maine. Province Lake 1954. There are some almost memories, a fog of lyrical impressions, granite cogs grinding the bouncing car, sandy track veering up glacial till. A picnic table, buttered brown bread, tomatoes sprinkled with white sugar, cucumbers sliced and peeled like coins. Really, only these four photographs can be relied on, supplemented by dozens of other summer tales. Nests of shade below pines in the grove, footfalls softened by showers of needles. Down our lane, stout trunks framed the lake. A blue portal to the narrow beach. A rowboat, pickerels, crayfish, and turtles. Green postcard hills of Maine nearby. Grammy Picard and my mother, still in her loose maternity top, moved from tent to trailer to table, setting out plates, tending the stove. Dappled shade dense over outdoor meals, big smiles for ordinary chores. Is the next photo a different day? Grammy seems to have changed her shoes. Dad cradles my baby sister, eyebrow raised while he bottle feeds. Glances up at the camera person who takes the picture of him nursing. And I squirm on my Grammy's lap, saying loud something no one hears. Phoebes and chickadees spoke their own names. Bullfrogs demanded a jug of rum. Chipmunks chipped and scampered away. I think we were happy, but who can say? A 2.5-year-old child is not a narrator you can count on, and now at 72, I might be influenced by nostalgia. Dungarees and sweatshirts, late one night, we walked together through darkened woods up to the knoll above the highway where we saw a lynx with flaming eyes, incandescent double set of lights. She blinked and then was gone for good. Forest relation, whom we of the day cannot follow, and all that implies. Thank you.
And you just just heard again from the September 3rd and the Journey Continues open mic reading in that monthly series at the Elm Cafe. You heard readings by Alana Veach, Meg Freer, Sue Publicover, and Eric Folsom. Up next, you'll hear the final readings in that first round, actually, readings by Kin Man, Kelly Chartier, Harlequin Crow, Abby Mioli, and then me. Here we go.
So give Eric another hand. Let's bring up Kin Man Young Tai.
Hi, Fallen Eric is like trying to follow Paul Valery. This poem is actually based on haunting line from his poem The Bee. When love is sleeping or has died, which he also concluded sonnet. As I said, it's a mountain to climb and I'm just on a footpath. In the vanity of things love gives me, it becomes easy, simple, to let love go to sleep and worse, to even die. In a growing emptiness, a deep silence, more paths with things absent. The sunshine warming as it should drives me to deeper desperation. That still body I view in a half open casket, the Lord's prayers on lips, on a pamphlet, a picture alongside the psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. The hug to acknowledge, share grief, the wave of hand to recognize things change. So much and little to draw me into the void with others dead or alive. Those four oriental goldfish in the sunlight, I wait on to convince myself of the 10 there once. Around hostas devastated by slugs, I sprinkle the prescribed coffee grains. The rose seedling, a surprise of spring, I transplanted and now in care with the others. I found out with the names mentioned much that was shared and lost. Pain ever assures me of old promises anew, and what can keep love from falling asleep and dying, so I hope. Thank you.
As we give Kin Man another hand, let's bring up Kelly, is it Chartier? Sorry?
You can say however you want.
Chartier? Is that right? Chartier?
Chartier, yep.
Okay, let's bring up Kelly.
All right. So similar to before, I'm going on a theme of what it's like to go through a mental breakdown. This one is about alienation. It's called Unutterable. I can't be the normal you want me to be. My otherness keeps stopping me with unutterable reminders of what I really need in life that's so impossible, yet still persisted upon. I've tried so hard to be your ideal, to please you, only to stutter in the act, expose myself in all of my embarrassment as an alien stuck in your world, trying to make the mask fit. Why do you keep me, I wonder? While awkwardly holding up the likeness of your expectations, finding no clues that lead to an answer, just plenty of subtle reminders of all the mistakes I've made that require an apology. I want to say, I'm sorry for being this thing. I did not mean to be here. I'm not sure how it happened, but I'm stopped by the tormenting images flashing across my lonesome mind of the home I belong to that is too far away for you to understand me.
As As we give Kelly another hand, let's bring up Harlequin Crow.
Any ace. Let me tell you a story of love, of grace. A story in which our protagonist goes by Any Ace. Now, Annie really loved to pun, hence her chosen name, and her other loves included knitting and baking and meeting friends for games. While Annie socialized at times, others she spent alone, but either way she never lacked for friends to call her own. Among those friends, a multitude of he's and she's and they's from all across the rainbow spectrum, and a few were even straight. While some of her friends had found their match and settled down for life, others continued to play the field because that was what they liked. And among that crowd was Annie, who felt no need to date. But don't think she was lonely, our darling Annie Ace. The kind of love that Annie had offered all she ever craved, and in each friendship, her heart found its embrace. Annie never wanted more. It just wasn't who she was. Instead, she was like some queer Buddha. Not one for desire, but never lacking for love. And if you ever meet her, she might give you a hug, with a smile on her face. And that's just the way she is. Our darling, Annie Ace.
As we give Harlequin another hand, let's bring up Abby Mioli.
Hey, everyone. I was not expecting to be called up so soon. I have a quick little blurb. I'm hosting an open mic at Next Church, and it's going to be every month. The first one is September 13th, and it's for poetry, music, stand-up, short stories, whatever you want. All are welcome. And then I'm also helping organize a nonviolent direct action workshop for those of you out there who want to get more involved in the activist community. I know be putting these around town. So at the last open mic here, while I was listening to people, I was just writing a poem, I guess, like from things I heard from different people's poems. So you might just hear a piece of your poem in this poem. Evasion. We come here to remember, sink into each other's presence. Ethnogenesis, we need to tell new stories. Stories within stories, voiced with care. With consciousness, we reconsider the way we occupy space. The change that shifts the land we all dwell upon. The rivers, lakes, creeks, and ponds, we see ourselves in each other. And wonder, when did our transportation become so sanctified? All acquaintance with the same inevitable end. Notice how our breathing cycles sync together. Notice how we all know each other's faces but forget each other's names. Never again after these words we share will our life be lived the same. I am contending with what I do not understand and questioning what I think I can. Thank you.
Is there anyone that came in? No, a couple of people came in late. Is there anyone who came in late that wanted to read in this first round? Or anyone else that was sitting there that's decided, yeah, I do want to read, so. Okay. Then let's do this. Let's give Abby another hand for her poem, for her reading. And also, I mean, this is our fifth venue that we've been in since we've been around for 15 years. We've had to move around a little bit when things change or just disappear, whatever. This was And the Artel is very dear to the few of us that are here, that were back here in that day when it started. So that definitely has a place in my heart. But this place, our fifth venue, this is the place that welcomed me with open arms more than any other place, and I love it here. So first of all, I want to give, let's give Grace a hand for the great job she's done, and also the Elm Cafe. And we've heard some great readings. Before I read the poem and finish up this round, let's give yourselves and everybody else a hand. I live in the Skeleton Park area, and I had heard about the Farmer's Market at Memorial Center for a long time, and I never went there. And then last summer, really weird. I mean, it's not even that far from where I live. It's like a 20-minute walk. I went there last summer, and I'm going, oh, my God, why have I not done this before? And so now it's a regular thing, even in the winter, because they're in the shed in the winter, but it's more fun in the summer when they're outside. But I've started to get a cup of coffee there and sit there and just watch the people and write poetry. And this poem came out of that a couple of weeks ago. It's called Farmer's Market Day at the Park. A flow of generations and circumstance slow rolling through this small park today. The oldest of those moving down the paths are subconsciously aware that there will be fewer of their numbers over the weeks, months, years to come. But consciously seeing and believing something else. The youngest of those here, babies in carriages, will not remember this. It's simply another blip in the ever-rolling everything rushing by every single second. It will all disappear into a dream. They will remember as they walk through this park 80 years on. Thank you.
And you just heard again from the September 3rd in the first round, as we concluded the first round, and the Journey Continues monthly open mic at the Elm Cafe. Readings by Kin Man Young Tai, Kelly Chatier, Harlequin Crow, Abby Mioli, and me. And you are listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. My name is Bruce. It is about 38 minutes after 4 o'clock. And thank you so much for listening to the first round. I'll share the second round that evening in the second hour today. But as most of you know, I always have a call out for those who can't make the open mic. They can send me MP3 files of their poetry up to about 7 or 8 minutes. And I do have a regular listener of the show who lives near Montreal. And she'd sent me two poems several weeks ago. I couldn't include it in last month's. There wasn't room, and I'd hoped to get them aired that week. But we've got a little bit of extra time this week. So I'm very happy that this works out well today. And coming up, you're going to hear now two poems by Zandra, and a poet who lives, again, near Montreal. The first poem is called Ottawa House. The second poem is called Sauna Rap. And here is, after a brief little clap to get out of that last segment, yeah, here is Sandra.
Reconciling Ottawa House, Nova Scotia, recorded by Sandra, 2019. Touring New Scotland, I absorb the sad story of Acadie, a peaceable people, and the arrogant, insecure British. How the quiet and meek inherit blueberry fields, staving off bravely Walmart today, pirates of collective wealth, how the Commonwealth wins. It has to win, because the ocean lays claim over all. And the forest, though reduced to a few thin trees, struggling poplars, returns under cover of relentless fog, flashing rains, sending faces of rock crashing, leveled. How a prime minister, built on sacred ground of a peaceful people, so history says in its current wisdom, for history lies only once every 100 years or so. Like in 2008, when another PM apologized to the Indians. How can we restitute? Who asks the great narrator? Who is narrator and who the narrated? Whose conversation? I'll tell you the story later about a man who broke his funny bone and used eelskin to graft it. This is about fragility and courage. In a conversation with a bone-weary woman, skin and bones with work and worry. Somehow we focus on bone. The language worn to the bone wears her, but it's all we have. Knuckling down to the hardest part of the human creature, bone-headed knuckle-noggins we are, the part that outlives us, that passes first into death as it passes into life, feet or head first, bone is our definition. I sip a milkshake, start off with cliches. The natives say rocks are the bones of the earth, like the bones of bodies. They store memory in crystalline structures that heal. Glooskap's grandmother,
Ngumi,
with her magic cauldron that never empties. The bones it contains regrow like crystals. The spine of escarpments as old as the earth, worn down but still strong, as the ragged remains of history hang in tatters off them and trail into the sea where fingers of rock hold close-fisted fossils, and the surf has the sound of an ancient giant grinding her teeth in her sleep. The worn woman responds in physiologies. A penis is not a bone, and the first comet to shoot through space, though it looks like a sperm in the picture, is just a rock. Porous and friable. The condition you have is not what you think, and the condition you think is not what is. What is bone, and flesh, and white blood, and red. Nothing. Nothing is, and nothing is not related. Perhaps this fossil has meaning, because it was hidden. Because leads to causeway and caustic to chalk. And plaster casts, linking stone upon stone like vertebrae. To step over the river, to anchor one footprint in the mists of that which cannot be retained. My favorite rocks are fossilized trees. They fossilize one cell at a time. And aren't we small upon this earth? And isn't there a bone in your body that's not smiling, I ask? The ivory, she said, there's narwhal, elephant, sea lion's teeth, valued as gold and made of salt. I wish I could rib her, remind her of marrow. But who am I and what do I know? That tiniest bone in the inner ear. That's how I whisper now to you. How, like the water in the canyon, howling down hollows carved through millennia. Hollering, hollering, how? Centuries of spite. Reverse the flow to celebrate today. How a town picks up its socks, paints its eyes blue, signposts the commons with sculptures and says, the days of the pounding are done. We've paid the dues of blackbeards reckoned in archives on the top floors of the abandoned chair factory. Pirates to industry gone. So we will weave us a chair of white spruce, caned in seaweed, dyed with red clay, and on that chair will sit a Brit, a Scot, a German, a black, a Frenchman, or Micmac woman at peace. The fertile sucking mud swallowed by sea will swirl again to the brim and again recede in peace.
Sauna. Wrap. I located the place on the wall where the wrapping came from,
and answered. Rap, rap. Contact established. Repeating each other's code. Rap, yes. Rap, rap. Received. Then broke into rhythms, drumming on walls with fingers, fists, and feet. The men's sauna, the women's sauna, side by each, wavered in heat and heartbeat, until he on his side and I on my wall, too relaxed to continue, slumped into sizzling thoughts. How different it would be were it urgent to message details other than ours. Were we misread through this wall? Were we received by the wrong commitment? Not to walk out afterward into the snowy day, hand in hand, laughing. How abbreviated, texted, how different, morse and remorse, in Somalia, in solitary, sharing a wall in a hallway of wallways, in a place of walls, world walls, and all we had were these resonant, bloodied knuckles red with need, painful expectancy of a single rapt response, day or night, for 8-fingered years, for 3,000 nights. Had we no hands at all, our tapped rhapsodies and rhythmic raptures suddenly seemed obscene.
Composed and read by Sandra, near Montreal, 2020.
And you just heard again, you heard two MPs sent to me to be included in this show today. You heard those were by Sandra, who lives near Montreal and who is an avid listener and supporter of both CFRC and this show. And with her two poems, again, called Ottawa House and Sauna Rap. I just see, looking at the clock, it is just getting ready to turn 47 minutes after 4 o'clock. Tell you what, let's do this, and I'll be right back.
Folk Everything is your passport to the finest in folk music. Old, new, and everything in between. The wonderful, the wild, and the weird.
Walk quietly by, he won't bother you. He's a busy man, he's got things to do.
It's all here Saturdays from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. Folk Everything with Hugh on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston.
Our house is a very, very, very fine house.
Late in the 1970s, four Kingston women got together to discuss the idea of creating a community house, a place where grassroots organizations, families, and groups could gather, a place where food could be prepared and shared, new skills could be learned, and lively discussion could be encouraged. For over 30 years, Kingston Community House has provided low-cost meeting space for hundreds of groups, allowing people to come together to learn from one another, share resources, and trade skills. As it becomes safe once again to gather in person, we look forward to providing the Kingston community with a comfortable and convenient place to reconnect with one another. Located in downtown Kingston, we operate 7 days a week. For more information on Kingston Community House and how to book, please visit kingstoncommunityhouse.org.
CFRC 101.9 FM.
And welcome back. You are listening to, let me get my sheets ready here. Going to share some events, but let's go ahead and do this first. You, I should just say you are and have been listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. I'm here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. Before I go into anything else, first thing I'd like to do is thank all of you out there very much for having tuned in to this first half hour of the show today. And I hope you can stay tuned to the second for more of it. And there will be a book launch in there as well. Also, I want to thank all of those people who came out to read and also to just sit and listen and support the readers and the poets at the open mic in September. It was really a beautiful event. It's always a beautiful event. So one quick reminder I will do that I always do before the end of each hour is to remind you that every week both hours of this show are uploaded to my blog space for it shortly after I get home at Finding a Voice on cfrcfm.wordpress.com. I normally get that done by 7 o'clock, but tonight will be an exception, and I'll tell you why in just a minute. But because I do have several minutes this afternoon to go through some upcoming events and calls for submissions, I'm going to do that. So, and the first thing is, and kind of explains why I won't get this uploaded at 7 o'clock, because directly from here, this evening at 7 p.m., I need to be at Novel Idea Bookstore, 156 Princess Street. There's going to be another book launch. There are a series of book launches coming up there. There was just one there last night, too, and there have been four or five, maybe six, that I've recorded that I haven't even had a chance to air. One of those is finally going to air again, as mentioned, in the second hour today, but you're going to hear a lot of book launches here for the next several weeks. So coming up tonight, David O'Meara with his book Chandelier, and Pasha Malia with their book All You Can Kill will be launching their new books. Again, that's going to be at Novel Idea Bookstore, 156 Princess Street tonight, October 4th, 7 p.m. And you may have heard Meg Freer at her reading mentioning a art tour that she and I will be part of. Poetry is just one tiny thing in there. There's going to be several studios, fine arts, crafts, music, other performance as well. And it was created and curated, I believe, by Joanne Gervais. And it's coming up tomorrow from, I believe, 11 a.m. Tomorrow, October 5th, from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. And Sunday, October 6th, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. You can find out more about it at just go to Facebook and key in 2024 Kingston Art Tour, or maybe just Kingston Art Tour will probably take you there to the page. You can also www.kingstonarttour.com and Instagram, Kingston Art Tour 2024. And if you want to contact her, Joanne Gervais, it's JoanneGervais at gmail.com. And again, that's coming up this weekend. Also coming up on Sunday evening, it's a relatively new series. I guess it's getting close to being almost a year old, or at least well over half a year. How's that? It's called the Driftline Series, and it's Wanda Pramsma created this event, organizes this series, and I think this is the fifth event in that series. It will feature poets, Kingston Poet Laureate Sadiqa DeMeyer, Liz Huntley, and Rebecca Luce Kepler. Musicians will be Max Montalvo, Paul Clifford, and Kyoko Ogoda. There is a looks like on Instagram.com. So, yeah, just go to Instagram and key in Drift Line Series, and I think it'll take you there. Anyway, this is happening at Musiki, which is, if you don't know where it is, you probably do, but it's at 73 Brock Street. Happening tomorrow, or I'm not tomorrow, it's happening Sunday evening, October 6th at 7 p.m. And then, let's see how I'm doing for time here. Oh, I'm good. Coming up, Tuesday evening, Mark Epprecht will launch his new book, Accidental Queer, and other essays around critical masculinity in South Africa and Canada. It's going to be another book launch, Novel Idea Bookstore, 7 p.m. Again, Tuesday, October 8th. On Thursday, October 10th, 7 p.m., another book launch there. Calista Markotic and Linda Wild will be launching their latest books. You can find more information about all of these that are going on at Novel Idea. The best place I know, they might have an Instagram page too. I'm just not hooked up to that, but they do have a Facebook page and they keep it very much up to date. So you can get more information there. But Callista's book is Wrap in a Big White Blanket, and Linda White's is Weight of Two Oranges. And then let's see what we got. Oh, it's a new open mic series, and you heard her, Abby Miole. You heard her in the open mic that aired in the first hour. Mention that this she started a new series. Well, this is already the second one of those in this series coming up, and it's coming up Friday, October 11th, so a week from tonight. And that's crazy to believe that it's been a whole month since the last one, or almost. It is a second Friday night of the month open mic event. Features both music and, in fact, let me read what they have here. I think this is directly from her site. It's an open to local musicians, poets, short story writers, and stand-up. It says contact her if you have questions, or for more information at Abby Miole. I'll spell it out for you, ABBIEMIOLEE at gmail.com. As the event airs, you can check for a poster of it on her Facebook page. I'm sure she has Instagram as well, so I'm sure you can figure out how to get it there. That's happening at Next Church, which is at 89 Colburn Street. And again, that's coming up Friday, October 11th from 7:30 to 9 p.m. Doors do open at 7 o'clock. Let's see. There is an online workshop happening a week from tomorrow, Saturday, October 12th at 2 p.m. Again, it's an online workshop, and it's a two-hour one that is put together by Banu Zan, a committed event organizer in Toronto. The workshop will, in addition to Banu's extensive experience, bring together, it says, the diverse experiences of organizers to exchange ideas. You can go to poets.ca, okay, at https poets.ca, how to run poetry events workshop. There are all kinds of dashes in there, but I'm sure any search engine will get you there with that much information. And then I'm going to quit there because there is one let's see, I lost my page here for it. Oh, it is more like a call than it is an event. And it is brand new. It just was launched at the Kingston Writers Fest last weekend. It's the Stephen Hyten Fellowship. And it is the Alperty A-Frame Association in collaboration with the Department of English and Creative Writing at Queen's and Kingston Writers Fest, launching Stephen Hyten Fellowship each year beginning next summer. One deserving, it says, writer, artist, or musician will receive a financial award of $10,000, a six-week residency at the Purdy A-Frame, and then a week-long residency at Queen's University in an association with a creative writing program. and a profiled position then at Kingston Writers Fest to be called the Stephen Hyten Happening. For more information and guidelines, contact Gene Bard, and that is G